So we'll read these two verses and then we'll go from there. James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver. Who is able to save and destroy? Who are you to judge another? So, as I'm looking at our lesson, I'm like, two verses. Wow. They're two verses, but they packed a punch, when we got into them and we broke them down. They're the continuation of verses 7 through 10, where he's telling us to submit to the Lord or submit to God and draw near to God and to purify your hearts and really to be sad over sin in our lives, and that sin in our lives often comes from pride, and so we need to be humble before the Lord. And then he goes into these two verses and right into, here's one major area where we struggle again with our mouths. And he's saying, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. So he is talking specifically to Christians here, to believers. He's saying, you know what? We often as believers have a gate problem. Our gate's broken. And what comes out is not good. Evil speaking. And it's often hurtful, and it's against brethren, against other believers that he's speaking of here. He says, he who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. So these words are spoken against other Christians. It's not pointed at somebody who's in the world and their state, but it's to somebody who we're supposed to be caring for, right? But we're speaking evil of them instead. And so as you look at this word evil here, this is backbiting. It can come through the form of gossiping, speaking against somebody, slander. It can come in the form of hypocrisy, saying one thing or believing one thing, but then saying something else. Often has to do with self-righteousness in our own selves, which is why these verses come after that section of being humble, because we believe something in somebody else's life is wrong, and we think it's our job to point it out, or to talk about it, or to talk with somebody else about it. But it's speaking evil. It's backbiting. It's speaking against. It's coming against somebody else's character. It could be insults, speaking evil. It can be criticizing, being critical of somebody. Finding faults with another. Just looking and seeing everything that's wrong with that person and pointing it out, feeling the need to mention it. Incriminating somebody for what they do or they say. And so that's specifically what this speak evil of is here. And again, these things are being spoken against the brethren. They're being spoken of against the believers. So it could be happening in church, happening in fellowship afterwards, as we're gathering in our little groups to over a cupcake or a cookie or whatever, we might be talking about somebody else. Many different things that we could be talking about. But he's saying, be careful of this. And he goes on to say, he who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. It eventually comes down to God's word. Because his word tells us not to do this. And yet we've taken it on ourselves to point this stuff out. And so he goes from speaking evil into being a judge. And when we look at this word judge, it is to pronounce an opinion. So we're often speaking our opinion about what we think about this other person. We're passing a judgment on this person, often finding them guilty of something. It is a rule or govern over someone, over another, taking a headship over. And again, that usually is because we're taking a position of pride that we shouldn't be in. And so we're kind of taking that leadership role and pointing out things about another. It can also mean to contend with. It could be directly with the person, or again, it could be behind their back. But it is coming against another believer. And often it is rendering a verdict. So we see something in somebody's life. We believe it's wrong. And so we have rendered a verdict of guilty. And now we're sharing it. And so we're judging others, and we're judging the law, judging God's word when we do that. And where does it come from? It often comes from our pride, as we looked at, again, verses 7 through 10 of James chapter 4, specifically at James 10, after he goes through, you know, lament over your sin. He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You know, no place for pride. Because when we do place ourselves in that prideful position, that's when we feel it's okay to point out other people's faults and make ourselves judge. And the word does have several things to say about judging. If we look at Matthew chapter 7, or speaking evil of others, Matthew 7, beginning in verse 1, it says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So, you know, we've often said to people, you know, don't point a finger at that person, because don't forget, there's three fingers pointing right back at you. The way you give it out, at some point, it's going to come back at you, is what these scriptures are saying. So be careful. If you find it very easy to talk about others and all of their faults and be nitpicky and all of this, well, guess what? Eventually, people are going to find it pretty easy to talk about you, because they're not going to like your attitude. They're not going to like the way that you're treating others, and it's going to come back to bite you at some point. It goes on here in verse 3, and it says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So, the very familiar scriptures, but you know, how often when we're judging somebody or we're speaking evil of somebody, we're not realizing, boy, we're beating them with our own plank, because we're judging them. We're, you know, we're bashing them with our plank when their issue perhaps is much smaller than the issue we're dealing with. You know, we're the backbiter. We're the one who has rendered the verdict. We've rendered them guilty of this, yet it's not our position to do that. And so we're bashing, you know, with our plank when their issue is small or not even our business to be dealing with. So we need to be careful. We need to take a good look inwardly and, you know, make sure that we're where we should be. You know, I'll say to my kids a lot as they're tattling or whatever, well, are you doing the right thing? And they're like, well, no, but. And I'm like, wait a minute. You make sure that you're doing the right thing in this situation. Don't worry about them. You know, you take care of you and make sure you're good. You know, I'll take care of them. You know, I hear the situation. I've got it, you know. Just make sure you're doing what's right. And so, in all of this, in those verses, you know, that's what it's reminding us of. You know, are you following God's word? Are you doing what you should be doing? What's the condition of your heart here? Make sure your heart's okay. And then, if everything's good with you, should the Lord desire it, He'll give you the words to say if there is something truly going on in that other person's life that needs to be dealt with, and He wants you to deal with that, then it can be done properly. It can be done without the bashing, you know. You're not going to be knocking them over, you know. You're not going to be thumping them, you know. It's going to be done kindly or gently or decently, you know, the way God would have it done, rather than, you know, in a critical, perhaps harsh way. And it's going to be done peacefully and in order as God would have it done. So first, make sure things are good with you before you're trying to deal with other people's stuff. So he says, be careful of judging because it is going to come back at you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So he's saying, this stuff doesn't belong in the believer's life. Get rid of it. Put it away from you. And, he says, the opposite of that, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Remember, you've been forgiven much. You should be able to forgive what's going on with somebody else. Be kind. Be tender-hearted. You know, if there is an issue, deal with it. Deal with it in a godly way. Forgive. Don't let any root of bitterness grow up there. Don't do it in a judgmental way. Be careful. A lot of our evil speaking can be a result of the bitterness that we allow to grow and unforgiveness, and then we become angry, and that's when the evil speaking comes out. You know, we've allowed a situation to just fester, and then we'll rah about the person or the situation, and it becomes very hurtful and damaging and much harder to rectify, you know, once it's come to the evil speaking. A lot harder to deal with than if we'd had dealt with it in a kind, tender-hearted, forgiving way. Just as God forgave us. Because remember, He forgave us while we were yet sinners. So we should be willing to do the same. 1 Peter chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. Therefore, laying aside again these same words, all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the milk of pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. So instead of being angry and lashing out and acting in hypocrisy, desire God's word and follow God's word. If we're doing the one, if we're evil speaking and we're being judgmental, then we're not following. It says to be tender, to be kind, you know, to love others, to be forgiving. So be in the word. Know what the word says. How do we deal with different situations? I don't know if there's any place that I found where God says, deal with that situation harshly, you know. I don't think He ever says that, you know. It's always, have the law of kindness on your tongue, you know. Didn't we learn that in Proverbs 31? She had the law of kindness on her tongue. That isn't going to speak evil of somebody, the law of kindness. It's not going to be judgmental, but it's going to be tender-hearted. And it is going to be encouraging. God does tell us to encourage one another as long as it's called today. And, you know, He does set up parameters for if there are problems, if there is sin in somebody's life. I mean, remember with David after Bathsheba. Didn't he send Nathan to him? But it was done in a gentle way. Nathan told him a story. And guess what? God was working in David's life where he was going, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. You tell me who that was. Nathan was like, you're the man. And David recognized it. You know, God was working, you know, God's able. He's able to point out that person's fault to them, you know. And if it is a sin issue, God is going to deal with it. Who are we to feel like we're the one who has to work that out of a person's life? We don't know what God is working in that person's life. You know, aren't we blessed that He doesn't deal with all of our sin at once? We'd never be able to handle it, you know, but He works one thing out at a time, you know, and He does it so gently. But He's able, you know. As we, you know, saw in these two verses in James, you know, who am I? He's the one who can save. He's the one who can destroy. He's the one lawgiver, you know. We'll look at that in a little bit. But who am I to think that I need to fix somebody's life? And that is what I titled this message tonight anyways, by the way. Who am I? Who am I? You know, who do I think I am? Is how it was put in our study at one point. So let's look at Luke chapter 18. Speaking of who do I think I am, this is looking at a Pharisee, I believe.
Did you say Luke?
Yeah, Luke 18. And he spoke, this is Jesus, this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So remember when I was talking about what evil speaking meant, and I said that it can be self-righteousness, evil speaking. Here are those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and because of that, they despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And remember, the tax collectors were despised because they often cheated people. They were known as, to the Pharisees, as sinners. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus in himself. And so note his posture here. He's standing and he prays and he says, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Well, guess what, buddy? You are like other men. We're all alike. We're all sinners by nature. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even this, and he has the nerve to point out the man next door, even this tax collector. And when we're doing our evil speaking, isn't that what we're doing? We're like just pointing out somebody's issue. And saying, I'm so glad, Lord, that I'm not like them. This sin in their life, we're pointing it out. I don't deal with that, you know, and lowering them to a level and putting ourselves up on a pedestal. And that's what he's done here. I am not like that. Aren't I lucky? I fast twice a week, and so now he's pointing out, you know, giving himself the old pat on the back. I fast twice a week. I give my tithes of all that I possess. And then it turns to the other man that the Pharisee felt so just to point out. And the tax collector, standing afar off, notice his posture, his position in all of this. He didn't even feel he could come close to God. The Pharisee's right there. Standing up in that upright position, look at me, all puffed out, you know, strutting his stuff. The tax collector was standing afar off, couldn't even come close, didn't feel worthy of that. would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. So you can see his posture. He's like, Lord, you know, I can't even come close. Again, that saying, who am I? Would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knew his position. He knew his state. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And so, we see here the Pharisee being very judgmental, and the tax collector understanding his state before God and just begging for mercy. And what did it say in James? That when we are evil speaking of others, as this Pharisee here pointing out this man's state, it says, you've become a judge of the law, and you break the law. And what is he doing? He's saying, I'm so thankful I'm not this man and this awful sinner. But what does God say about it? I tell you that the tax collector was justified and not the Pharisee, because he put himself in the position of becoming the judge of the law rather than the other way around, of feeling like he should be judged by the law. So the word says, be careful. Be careful of what you're pointing out, because it will come back at you. That Pharisee was not justified because of the position that he took. And then it goes on in James to talk about there being one lawgiver in chapter 4. Says there is in verse 12, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? So God is perfectly capable of taking care of sin in a person's life, in a believer's life. He is perfectly capable of pinpointing that in somebody's life. Who are we to think that it's our job? If we do, however, see something in somebody's life, Scripture's clear of what we should do. It tells us to pray about it. You know, pray for that one. And God will deal with it in the way he sees fit. But there's the one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. And what is our position to be? Look at verse 7, just up a couple verses. Therefore, submit to God. He is the lawgiver. Therefore, submit to him. Because who am I? I'm nothing without him. Matthew 10:28. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. So yeah, there are evil things that happen today. And yes, very sadly, people do get killed. But the word says, don't fear those people, you know, the ones who can take our earthly life away from us. But they cannot kill the soul, you know. Don't worry about that. But rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So we need to be reverencing God, submitting to the lawgiver, because he is the ultimate judge. He is the one who determines whether somebody's going to heaven or somebody's going to hell. He is the one, as in James chapter 4, verse 12, who can save and who can destroy. In this verse here, verse 28 in Matthew 10, he is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. So, yeah, things can happen to our earthly bodies, but God is the one who determines where somebody's going to be for eternity. So you better fear him. And not to be afraid of him, but revere him, that reverence, that godly fear of him. Romans 14, verse 4. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems another day alike. Let each of them fully be convinced in his own mind. So he's saying, you know what? Be careful. You know, who are you to judge? Because God speaks into that person's life and is guiding them and directing them and working things out in them. And that person is standing to his master, you know. And by his master he stands or he falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for his God is able to make him stand. So, you know, there are different areas in Scripture, you know, especially as wives where we're told to submit to our own husband, you know, because God has given our husband wisdom for our particular home and our particular situations. And just because he has set something up in our home doesn't mean that's the way he's going to set it up in somebody else's home. Yet we can often be judgmental over, well, I can't believe they do that, or I can't believe they allow that in their home, or did you see that? You know, we were talking about movies, and, well, I might be okay going to this movie, but, you know, maybe you're not okay with going to the same movie because of how you might deal with what's in that movie, you know? And that's okay, because God has spoken to the head of my home and said, this is okay or this is not okay. I mean, Fred draws the line on a lot of things in our home, and we'll say, you know what? I don't care that everybody else has this game or that game, or, you know, I don't care if even Christians are playing that game. I don't like what's in it, and it's not going to come into our home. But then there may be something else that he says, you know what, that's okay. But another believer may say, you know what, I don't like that, and that's not coming into my home. But we have to stand under what God is showing our husbands and submit to that. But who are we to look at somebody else's home and say, well, this is how we do it, so that's how you have to do it. You know what? God doesn't want us to judge that. You know, it's one thing if we're looking into God's word and there is something specific, something that is obvious in God's word, that God's word says, you shall not. Well, then, those are the things that we can say in a loving, kind way. You know what? As long as it's called today, I've got to encourage this brother or this sister. Look at, this is what God's word says, you know. But in those areas where it's not black or white, it's not definitely spelled out in God's word, it's not a sin issue, who are we to judge that? Because God's spoken into that, hopefully, that godly man's life to set up that in their home. That man who is praying over the leadership of his family. So we should never look into somebody else's home and say, that's not right. Or, you know, again, look at the beam. You know, be careful. Just take care of things in your own home. It's hard enough to take care of it in your own home without worrying about what's going on in somebody else's house, you know. Let God deal with them, because, as we've seen, he's certainly able to. Don't make yourself the judge of that, especially if it's not clearly spelled out in Scripture. But again, if it is, and God's told us, you know, I'm sending you, Nathan, to go speak to David, then we better obey God and do it, you know. But it's not to be in a judgmental way or anything like that. It's to be done in a loving way. Psalm 46, verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. And this is just looking a little bit at this lawgiver. And who do I think I am? Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. Can we trust God not only to deal in our life, but to deal in our brother or sister's life? You better believe you can. Be still and know He's God. Trust that He's able to deal with what's ever going on in somebody's life, that we, if He hasn't told us to do it, that we don't have to. Leave it in His hands to work out however He sees fit to work it out. And because we see He's capable of anything, right? He can desolate a land. He can't hit me. He puts and holds the stars in place. You know, He's a big God. He's able to take care of an issue, which is probably a teeny tiny issue in somebody's life. But be still and know that I am God. Trust Him for all your cares and concerns. So what should our response to these two verses be? Of not speaking evil, not judging, not putting ourselves in that position that God deserves to be in, of dealing with things in people's lives. 1 John chapter 5. The beginning of verse 16 says, if anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask. And He, Jesus, will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. So if we see something going on in somebody's life, pray. Don't feel that you need to be the one to fix it. Pray. Put it before God, and God is going to deal with it in the way that He sees fit. He may use you, but He may not use you. He doesn't need to use you to work in somebody's life. He's able to deal with it. So pray. Pray, pray, pray through any situation that you see in somebody's life. Romans 15. Beginning in verse 1. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. So he's saying, you know what? Bear with one another. There may be things that you don't like in another person's life. That may not be the way that you would do it, but deal with it. You know, put up with some things. If it's not a sin issue, don't worry about it. I remember when I first got saved, and it may not have even been right away. You know, I was brought up Catholic, and we didn't eat meat on Fridays. You know, during Lent, we had fish on Fridays. And after I got saved, you know, I struggled eating meat on Fridays. And I went to my pastor, and I said, you know what? I know that I'm saved, and I know that was a rule of the church I was in. I said, but I struggle with it. He goes, you know what? If you struggle with it, don't eat meat on Fridays. It's not going to hurt you, you know? And when the Lord is ready to take that from you, He'll take it from you. Well, guess what? I eat meat on Fridays now. You know, it wasn't... yeah. But, you know... but it was a struggle. It was one of those things. And here I had a Christian pastor say to me, no big deal. don't worry about it. You know, there could be, there's something going on. Is it a sin issue? No. You know, is it a doctrinal issue? Well, then maybe it needs to be dealt with. And let's pray about it and see how the Lord would have it dealt with before we go and bash somebody with our plank, you know. So he's saying here, the strong, are you a mature Christian? Then, you know, put up with some of the scruples of others. Those who are weak, who aren't quite to the maturity level yet, perhaps don't know Scripture as well. It's okay if they don't want to eat meat on Fridays. You know, if they feel still, they still feel they need to give up something for Lent, go ahead and let them give it up, you know. Maybe it's a good thing if they give that thing up, you know. And so, and then eventually when it's the right time and the Lord matures them in different areas, you know what, you'll see those things go away. If they truly are in God's Word and they love His Word and they, you know, are continuing in it and they're maturing, you'll see those things eventually come out of their life. And it's going to be God who deals with it in the way that He chooses to deal with it, you know. Who are we to think that we need to fix that in somebody's life? Galatians chapter 6. Again, what is our response to this? Beginning in verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. You know what? That is a doctrinal issue you see in somebody's life. That is a sin issue in their life. Be careful how you deal with it. You're judging. You're being judgmental. Guess what? It's going to come back on you here, right here. Consider yourself, lest you be tempted. You know, as you're dealing with the trespass of somebody else, are you now being tempted to be prideful? Are you being tempted to be the one speaking evil of? Are you being the one who is putting yourself in God's position, thinking you need to deal with that in somebody's life? No, that's God who needs to deal with that in somebody's life. So be careful. Again, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You know, there's no place for pride in our life. There is no place for us to feel we need to take God's position and deal with things. But let each one examine his own work. Again, take a look at yourself. You know, make sure that you're doing the right thing. And then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You know, so I don't have to put myself in somebody's affair. My life has enough troubles of its own. You know, I have enough to deal with without thinking I need to fix somebody else. So, examine your own work and have rejoicing when those things are dealt with in your own life, you know. And then when you do see those things, that God is working on that in that other person's life, rejoice in it, you know. But again, be careful. There's a lot of strong warnings in this tonight. These two small verses, a lot to be careful of, a lot to be mindful of. Let's look at John chapter 13. Verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this you will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Do you love that person like God has loved you? Remember, He loved you while you were still a sinner. You know, He died for you while you were still a sinner. If you're loving that person, you don't want to see sin in their life. But you want to deal with them in a tender-hearted, loving way as Jesus dealt with you. Again, that golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do to you. Would you want somebody, there's something going on in your life, do you want somebody coming to you, bashing you over the head, you know, or speaking evil of you? pointing out things, you know, going behind your back. Do you know that she, blah, 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 you know, whatever it might be. And do you want somebody doing that about you or to you? I don't think so. So don't do it about somebody else. Love one another as I have loved you. The same way Jesus deals with each one of us. That's how he wants us to deal with others. While we were yet sinners. Still in John chapter 15, John, over to chapter 15, verse 17. These things I command you. Here he's repeating it again. Love one another. You know, love one another. Love is kind. You know, you could go into Corinthians 13 and look at all that list of what love is. You can put your name in there. And are you those things? If you're not, then perhaps you need to be taking care of a plank in your life instead of thinking you need to worry about somebody else's speck. James, and then we'll go back to James chapter 4. If we're realizing that we're not loving somebody else, that actually, let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because that is actually very interesting to do, to look at that little list on love. Put your name in there. Starting in verse 4, anywhere it says love, you could put your name in there. Karen suffers long. Is Karen patient? is kind? Is Karen kind? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning at verse 4. This is the love chapter here. So it says, love suffers long and is kind. Put your name in there. Karen suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Karen does not envy. Karen does not parade herself. Karen is not puffed up. Are any of these going, ooh? Karen does not behave herself rudely. Karen does not seek her own. Karen is not easily provoked. Karen thinks no evil. Karen does not rejoice in evil. Well, I hope I don't rejoice in evil. But what does it say? Sin is pleasurable for a season, right? But Karen rejoices in the truth. Can you say that about all of these? If you can't, then there's some actions that need to be dealt with in your life. There's a place you need to go. And now we know that God is love, and He's the one that does this in our lives, allows us to love others in a patient, kind way, in a way that doesn't envy, that isn't prideful, it isn't rude, it isn't self-seeking. You know, it's not easily provoked, it's not, you know, it thinks no evil. It doesn't rejoice in sin. It's God who does this in us. It's God who allows us to rejoice in truth. He bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. His love never fails. But again, if you put your name in there in those few scriptures and you're feeling an issue, the Lord's putting his finger on something, let's go back to James chapter 4. This is what we need to do. And our lesson was so good. I don't know if it was day 5 or day 6 that had us tear down verses 7 through 10 again in conclusion about all of this. If we do have an issue, let's go back to James 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. You know, I have an issue with loving others. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know what? He's the one that's making it hard for you to love somebody else. So resist him, and he's going to flee from you. Instead, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And like we spoke last time, that little story about the truck, remember? The two sitting on opposite sides of the old pickup truck, and the woman looks over at her husband, who's in the driver's seat, and says to him, "What's happened to us? We used to sit so close to each other. You always had your arm around me." And he looks over at her and he says, "I didn't move." You know, he's in the driver's seat. She was the one who moved, yet she's the one saying, "What happened?" Right? Draw near to God. He hasn't moved. It's us who's moved away from him. So just that from last week. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Is there an issue? Do you have an issue loving somebody? Take it to God, you know. Have him cleanse that. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. He's not saying here, oh, Christians can never be happy, you know. He's saying here, be sorrowful over sin. You know, deal with it. The pleasures of sin aren't worth it. Deal with it. Lament, mourn, weep over it. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. You know, if we have a sin in our life, if we realize, you know, we've backbit somebody, we've spoken evil about somebody, we haven't dealt with the situation in the right way, we've become judgmental, then humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Confess it. And what does 1 John say? He is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He will lift you up. He will help you to love others and to not be judgmental. So go to him. And all of this will be straightened out. He is the lawgiver. Who do we think we are?